Hey y'all, welcome to Brianna Approved, a podcast for people who like a holistic approach to real science and clinical research on all things nutrition, botanicals, and balance. I'm your host, Brianna DiOrio, clinical nutritionist, herbal practitioner, and recovering super spaz. Hey y'all, welcome back to episode 20 of the Brianna Approved podcast. And this is my first episode that I am recording in my new home. So this is exciting. New studio vibes, same amazing content. And in episode 20, since I am wrapping up my dissertation, we are going to be talking about cultivating emotional well-being. And this is specifically in regards to anxiety, right? So coping skills for all of my recovering super spazzes out there. Of course, I'm going to hit you with the fun fact of the day, discuss the difference between helpful and unhelpful anxiety, talk about worrying well, which is a interesting reframe, and then we're going to talk a little bit about doing less to get more out of your health and just generally reframing anxiety in general. And now it's that time for your fun fact of the day while I sip cafe. Did you know that generalized anxiety disorder is the most common impairing anxiety disorder affecting 3.1% of the general population, or about 6.8 million adults? And believe it or not, women are twice as likely as men to be diagnosed with anxiety disorders. Now, I don't know if this is because maybe we go to the doctors more often, or we like to put labels on things, or who knows, but you know, generalized anxiety is different than something like panic disorder or PTSD or OCD. There's many different kinds of anxiety, generally around five or six main buckets. But generalized anxiety is kind of characterized by this chronic and exaggerated worry and, you know, just general like low grade tension, even when there is really nothing specifically to provoke this level of anxiety or to worry about. So I kind of joke and call this like worrying about having anxiety or having anxiety over having anxiety, stressing over stress, right? So kind of just life getting in the way. And the thing about anxiety is that, you know, we can have helpful anxiety and we can have unhelpful anxiety, right? So, you know, helpful anxiety can be you're getting a performance review and you're thinking about how do I improve my work, right? Whereas unhelpful anxiety would be like you just imagine getting fired all the time and then you dwell on that as opposed to thinking about how can I improve what I have currently going on, you know, in my now. And so helpful anxiety shows up when there is actually a true threat there, right? Like when something is actually dangerous to the body. Whereas unhelpful anxiety can show up when there is no true threat. And when we're talking about helpful anxiety as well, many times it's proportional to the actual issue, right? So an example of that would be like someone you're dating says that they need to talk to you and you feel like a little anxious, right? Because you're like, oh my God, are they going to break up with me? Are we going to have a big fight? Did I do something I forgot about? Whereas unhelpful anxiety, right, is excessive compared to the issue. So your partner says they need to talk to you and you start to just spiral out of control and panic that they're going to leave you. So I think it is important for people to kind of take a step back when they have feelings of this rising up and say, is this helpful anxiety or is this unhelpful, right? So helpful anxiety many times appears when there is an action that we can take and a time to take it, right? So actionable steps. So let's say you're waiting for a call from a date you're going on or maybe a job you're applying for, right? That anxiety prompts you to kind of think about what you're going to say in your head or maybe like speeches that you've rehearsed in the shower, right? Whereas unhelpful anxiety shows up when there is no useful action to take or a time to take it, right? So let's say you had an interview, for example, and the night after the interview, that anxiety basically will prompt you to continuously go over what you said and repeat what you should have said and kind of go down that rabbit hole. And that's really not productive, right? So you can frame it as helpful anxiety or unhelpful or productive anxiety and unproductive anxiety, right? And so this is kind of the idea of cultivating emotional well-being, which is what we're going to kind of talk about next. And that's kind of this idea of being able to practice stress management techniques, right? Being resilient, generating emotions that can lead to, you know, feeling generally well, generally balanced, generally at peace, because we've talked about this in the past, but, you know, peace and happiness are different things. And there is evidence suggests that emotional factors, you know, like optimism, for example, can be predictors of physical and emotional health. I did a whole episode on psychoneuroimmunology and this idea of, you know, how we think and our emotions and how that can directly affect our physiology, right? So the importance of cultivating emotional well-being is able to basically cope with the ups and downs of life, right? Which is what is a lot of life, right? When managing stress and emotional distress and, you know, being able to bounce back and being resilient again, because the goal is never to evade, avoid, remove all stressors, anxieties, worries, fears in your life. It's about being able to manage it, have an appropriate emotional reaction, and cultivating tools that help us deal with the curveballs that life throws at us. So in the next segment of the show, I do want to talk a little bit about reframing anxiety, because any emotion is just, it's information, right? If it was cloudy outside, you would probably look back in your life and say, every time it was cloudy, I ended up having it be rainy that day. So now that it's cloudy, that's a piece of information, I should maybe pack an umbrella in my car with me, right? So that can go for any emotion. We many times kind of focus on like, quote, negative emotions or emotions that we put in negative containers like anxiety, worry, fear. But, you know, being tired is an emotion, being hungry is an emotion. And so when those arise, that's information to say, I'm hungry right now. I feel hungry. So I'm going to eat something. So again, when we're talking about reframing anxiety, just in general, understanding that anxiety is a symptom of imbalances and it's not like a disease or a life sentence itself, right? And we're talking about generalized anxiety right now. We're not talking about, like I said, OCD or, you know, panic or PTSD. Those are a little bit different, but they can fall in the same bucket. But, you know, feelings of anxiousness or worry, fear, nervousness, sadness, these are all natural components of life, and they give us a lot of opportunities. Well, I should say life gives us a lot of opportunities to feel anxious or sad or upset or angry or hungry or tired on literally any given day. So every single emotion we have is meant to help us evolve and challenge us and direct us towards listening to our body's needs and imbalances, right? Emotions are the language of the body. It's just information. Just like when it's cloudy out, that informs us that maybe I should dress appropriately. I should bring a rain jacket. I should bring an umbrella. So the body is talking to us through these symptoms, which again can be expressed as any emotion that we're feeling. And so it is really important that we start to listen and quite literally feel what our body is trying to tell us, as opposed to suppressing it, avoiding it, creating negative narratives around whatever said emotion you're dealing with, because what you resist persists, as we know. And again, like, look back at some times of your life where maybe you did feel really anxious and that has now settled. And maybe it was every time you were around a certain group of people, right? There are triggers and associations when we talk about the amygdala pathway in particular for anxiety. That's when we can quite literally feel anxious. So understand, like, what is my body trying to tell me when I'm around a certain frequency, vibe, person, environment, energy, whatever it is, I quite literally feel this way. So again, emotions are meant to help us focus attention on areas of our life that maybe are unbalanced or they're not aligned with us or they don't serve us anymore. So, you know, it is also important to go a step further and take a deeper look at separating out feelings, thoughts, and behaviors all around anxiety again, right? Because we don't want to always just create this negative narrative around any of these emotions, because emotions are just emotions until we, like I said, kind of put a label on it that this is bad or good. No emotion is inherently good, bad, whatever. They're information, they're transient, and they're impermanent, right? So even on your worst day, you're going to eventually feel good again. And even on your best day, you're going to feel not great again. So it's all relative. And a lot of the times, again, because we're talking about anxiety today, that's like the body's alarm system. And it tells you many times what you need. Maybe you need to eat something. You're just like shaky. Maybe you need to go to sleep. Like you're just anxious because the fear parts of the brain are actually overactivated, right? That's the amygdala pathway again. While a lot of the times, you know, again, our body's just trying to get us to listen, which behaviors is usually what we need to execute in that moment when we are being triggered, right? So every time I feel anxious, what strategy am I going to pick or choose to get a appropriate coping mechanism, a behavioral or coping response that can be worked on, you know, when we're creating this kind of anxiety protocol, right? And so reframing anxiety, that's kind of goes back to the first segment of what I was just talking about in this show. Is this helpful, right? Are we paying attention to what we really need to be paying attention to? What is the call to action I need to be taking right now? And kind of understanding that it's like this biological signal that nudges you in the direction that maybe you need to go in that will ultimately result in beneficial change, right? Because a lot of the times when we have these emotions that pop up, it is really just your body's looking for a solution, right? Or it's trying to like problem solve. So when you start to feel a certain way, like what am I trying to solve right now? What is the issue at hand and what is the resolution? So, you know, that's a little bit about reframing anxiety. And next I want to talk a little bit about worrying well. And so there is a physician and a researcher named Martin Rossman. He has a whole lecture on this called Worrying Well. And this basically teaches individuals how to use the power of your mind to reduce things like stress and anxiety and kind of just live with more wellness and more balance, right? And so again, he talks about this idea of good versus bad worry, which I'll get into the definition in a second. But again, I don't want you to get so hung up on the label of good versus bad. But again, is this serving me? Is this actually productive? Is this moving me in the direction of solving a problem that I think I have right now or I think I'm going to have? So when we talk about good worry, quote, good worrying, this is the kind of worrying or anxious thinking that happens that helps us to anticipate and solve problems. It's basically this functional worry that is trying to solve a problem and potentially has the ability to solve a problem that maybe is going to happen or you think is going to happen, right? So real stuff to worry about. This is the good worry is stuff like you really, it's appropriate, right? I'm worried about this project. I'm worried about what school I'm going to get into. I'm worried about if I'm going to be able to pay for my kids' college, right? Stuff that you can actually ask yourself, is it likely that I can actually do something about this? Where you might either say to yourself like, yes, I can, or maybe I don't know yet, as opposed to when you actually, you know, like write stuff out that you're worried about, many times you kind of find out like, oh, you know what, there's really not a whole lot I can do about that. So, you know, how likely are you able to do anything about the worry or the anxious thought you have? That's kind of the bucket of good worry. Then we have bad worry, right? Quote, bad worry. I don't love that title, but just for the sake of, you know, some of us who have this kind of black and white thinking. And I think, again, with anxiety or any of these emotions, there's always a sliding scale. There's mild, moderate, severe. So maybe you have a day where the good or the bad worry, right? It's kind of just on this sliding scale or spectrum. But for the sake of this podcast, right, bad worry. So this is going to be the kind of worry or anxious thinking that is habitual, circular. It doesn't really go anywhere or lead to any solution. You just kind of like just keep replaying something in your head or a thought pattern that you get stuck on. And like it's on a loop, right? And so this can instill fear and feelings of being like scared when whatever it is coming up or what could happen or things that are many times out of your control, right? So you're kind of just like scaring yourself and sending yourself into this fear pathway, which ironically makes it harder for you to use your logical cortex brain when you're feeling that way. So again, this goes back to not stressing about stress, right? Reframing your thoughts, positive psychology, all these things that we've talked about. And so again, separating your thinking and thought patterns into things I can change, things I cannot change. And then I think sometimes there are certain gray areas, which would be like things I'm not quite sure about yet, right? And so even I think just writing down three different buckets of that can be really good and really beneficial for sorting through some of those anxious thought patterns. And then lastly, I talk about this a lot, but this idea of doing less to get more out of your health, right? I know I work with a lot of clients who kind of come to me where they've already tried 7,000 different protocols. Obviously, I'm exaggerating, but you know, they're on this really aggressive like supplement protocol and they're doing all these tests and they're stressing out because they missed their vitamins at like 8 a.m. and they said they were going to work out and kind of just like setting yourself up for failure, right? And so there is this idea of like just doing less, right? Like there's that scene in Forgetting Sarah Marshall when he's like, do less. And he's like, pop up, do less, right? And it's funny because we sometimes have this like death grip. And I see this a lot with my recovering super spazzes where we want to be the best and the most amazing at whatever it is. Like I have anxiety, fine. I'll have the most anxiety that anybody has ever had. Or I'm doing an anti-anxiety protocol. It'll be the best anti-anxiety protocol ever. And we need to start embracing the gray areas a little bit more, right? So there is a saying in Italy that is called dolce por niente, right? Which translates to this sweetness of doing nothing. And as counterintuitive as it sounds, sometimes simply just doing less allows you to get more out of literally everything you're doing, right? Having anxiety about having anxiety, stressing about stressing, right? Thinking about ways to be perfect on an anxiety protocol, right? That many times can do more harm than good. I've had clients a lot of the times where they will go on a super spaz spiral about, let's say, a certain food that they think they can't eat, right? And after all of this, and they made 70 different versions of it, and it's gluten-free and vegan and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, listen, you stressing out about eating XYZ, I would argue, is more problematic and detrimental to your health than having a little bit of whatever it is that you think is going to throw you out of balance, right? So again, it is really important sometimes that when something you feel like is going wrong, the first thing to do many times is actually nothing. I know it's human nature to want to react. We're very reactive as a society. I fall into this bucket as well. It's something I struggle with too. Like even as something as soon as my text message goes off, I feel like I have to answer it right away. And sometimes the best thing to do, like I said, is nothing. Right? So if you find yourself getting triggered, the first step really should be to pause and then consciously and cautiously take time to consider what actually is the next best step. Not my knee-jerk reaction, not my emotional association of what I've always done, but what is the next best step? And again, a lot of the time, somebody's first idea that comes to mind in any moment of high stress or worry is really coming from a place, like I said, of fear and reactivity, that amygdala, right, which many times is not logical. It's not the best logical choice or option. Or again, the cortex-based approach to anxiety, the higher functioning thinking, which we have to take a moment and step back. And so this is where something like mindfulness or taking a moment to take a walk around the block, right? People say that all the time. Think about it. When someone's like riled up, they're like, why don't you know what? I need a minute. I got to just take a lap or I got to go get some fresh air. Because that's putting us into parasympathetic mode, right? That's going to kind of allow us to be more present-minded, allow us to have more cognitive flexibility, which I've spoken about on the podcast in the past. Thinking about what is the next right step? What's the next right action? And that's very intentional, right? Because you have to be intentional with that. You have to consciously decide which thoughts you are going to allow and which pathway you're going to go down. And so this intentional approach is a lot more effective and productive, right? For solution-focused thinking. Again, because a lot of the times when we have these anxious thoughts that pop up or these anxious feelings, it's because we're kind of subconsciously looking for a solution to something that we're afraid of or that we're worried about or that is unknown to us, right? So if we can be more intentional, That, again, can have a more productive mindset for solution-focused thinking. And this is very important if someone's feeling triggered and feel like they need to take action right away. And so there is, you know, really cool research in the field of neuroscience that basically has found that the brain needs rest in order to function optimally long-term, right? It actually needs to be idle. And that can sometimes be problematic for an overly anxious brain or an anxious person. So like I said, always trying to fix or work on your anxiety can make your anxiety worse. So simply just taking more times for pausing in life, for doing less, for putting a semicolon in the sentence of your life. It doesn't have to be a full stop, right? Because that's hard for us overachieving, super spaz, type A, go, go, go people. But just taking a beat, right? And like literally even just saying to yourself, like, I'm going to take a pause right now. I'm going to put a pin in that right now. And I'm going to come back. We're going to circle back to that, right? That had a real glow up over the pandemic. So I would encourage all of you, you know, this weekend, like I said, to kind of try and do a little bit less, you know, take one thing off of your plate, try and assess, you know, how can I worry well if I'm going to worry, right? Putting things into a bucket, things I can change, things I cannot, things I'm not so sure about yet, right? And kind of just letting them simmer for a little bit. And then again, working on reframing that anxiety and cultivating, you know, some of your emotional tools for your health toolbox. So I hope y'all enjoyed this episode. And I have some exciting guests coming up. Make sure to check out the website that my brother redid for me, BriannaDiorio.com. He helps with all of my stuff as far as brand imaging goes and media marketing and just like absolutely amazing. So please check that out. I will be back on YouTube soon. Please rate, review, subscribe, share, tag, all the things for the podcast. And I'll see y'all next week. Ciao. Ba-da-da-da-da-da. Doop.